Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill on this hot and humid Monday. I feel like we're in Florida. I'm a little bit confused on where we're recording out of today. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. Today we have a mock interview Monday, which has become our general thing that we're doing the last Monday of every month. And what we do is we offer job seekers the opportunity to come in and get one-on-one coaching from one of our esteemed career coaches who works with the program, as well as myself. So today, I'd like to welcome back to the show Dr. Pearl Hilliard. She's the founder of Hilliard Performance Solutions, a company that provides consulting, coaching, leadership development, and training services. Pearl is an independent consultant and coach who focuses on employee engagement with an emphasis on a strength-based approach. She experienced her own career transition in 2011, and since then has developed several career life transition courses and focuses on career development and transitions, especially for people moving into their second or third act careers. She delights in supporting her clients as they move into a new field, a different organization, and or into a new phase of their lives. Pearl, along with two other colleagues, is currently developing a webinar series on career transition and reinventing your career. The workshop will be available in August and September, and you can visit yournextstepcareers.com and leave your name and email there, and you can receive some detailed information about the course. Thank you so much for being here, Pearl.
Great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you could be here. And along with Pearl, we have our job seeker today, Nina. And so sometimes for confidentiality purposes, we'll give somebody a pseudonym or we'll use things like company A, B, and C just to protect the person's identity. So today, Nina is going to be going through a mock interview with Pearl. She's going to conduct the entire mock interview. And then at the end of that, Pearl and myself are going to debrief Nina on any feedback on those little tips and tricks that we can give Nina to enhance her overall efficacy. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Pearl and Nina and let the interview begin.
Great. Well, great to meet you, Nina. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'd just like you to start off by telling me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Sri Lanka. Growing, I did a Montessori course and did early education and then didn't think that was the right fit for me. I went back into travel, which I really enjoyed doing. And then I came several years ago to the United States and went into the legal industry. I worked in small firms, I worked in branch offices, and honed my skill and really enjoyed working in the legal industry.
Great, great. Can you walk me through your resume?
Yes, I worked at Company A. I started my legal career at Company A. I was there for about 12 years. Really enjoyed working. I did all aspects of legal administration, did accounting, HR, benefits, whatever that was needed, I did it. I really loved working there. However, as time went by, I felt like the company wasn't growing. And I got this opportunity to move up the ladder and go to another company and do different... it was a different practice group, which I took the opportunity. I enjoyed it. But while I was there, I don't think things really... I didn't feel I was the right fit for the firm. In the meantime, my old firm was calling me, asking me when I would come back, and that they were doing, you know, really well. And I decided to go back and decided that that was where I was going to retire. Unfortunately, things didn't work out. They lost two of their big clients, and they had to shut their doors. And I had to look around and get a job really fast. And then I went to Company C. It was a location office. They wanted somebody there who could, you know, bring the location, you know, bring things together, bring the firm together, make it more cohesive. And that's where I was until they merged with another company and unfortunately had to eliminate my position.
Okay, great. So can you tell me a little bit about your management style?
Well, I think management styles, it's a difficult thing to put your finger on because I really don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. Some people like a lot of hand-holding. Some people like clear direction and to be left alone. But I try to let people know that I am available and there should they need my assistance. And then let them do their work instead of, you know, being on them all the time or asking them what's going on. And just let them know that I am there if they need my assistance. And I try to make that my management style.
So you're fairly sort of eclectic then?
Yes, I would
all
say
right.
So.
Yeah, yes. So you don't micromanage unless somebody wants that.
Yes, correct.
So you'll leave them alone if that's what they want.
Correct, yes.
Okay. So can you give me an example of when you've felt proud of how you've motivated somebody that you supervised?
Yes. In one of the firms I worked for, there were difficult attorneys. And the secretary, there was a lot of turnover. And it was really hard for the secretaries to work for these particular people. And I would talk to her periodically, have her come in when she was feeling, you know, like she was down, she didn't feel appreciated. So talking to them and kind of making them understand, well, if you do a really good job and you feel good about yourself, you know, ultimately that's what's going to help you down the road. And as people see that you are doing better and better and you're really motivated and put all the drama aside, things will start to look up for you and people will appreciate and realize that you're doing a good job. I managed to get her to feel better about herself, and she finally told me that she would do it because she liked me and she wanted to make my life easy. So that was great. And I, you know, was able to have her stay on and help us out instead of saying she wanted to leave because she didn't like working there.
Right, right. Okay. So you felt very proud about that.
I felt good. Yes, I felt good about that. Yes.
Okay. Great. So what are you looking for in your next position? What would your sort of ideal position be?
I want to work somewhere where people are appreciated and people are treated well, where there's loyalty and the company is looking to grow and there's stability. And every place you work has some kind of drama, but that people would focus more on getting their work done and improving the company instead of the constant drama. I'm looking for a home where I can stay and work for a long period of time and bring my skills to the table and be a team player.
Okay. So what would you say your strongest skills are?
I would say one of my strongest skills is being a problem solver. Being able to look at problems from different angles and different aspects, and also being able, even if there is a lot of distraction going on around me, to be able to do my work. I also have a great work ethic. When you've been asked to do a project, even if it was dumped on me at the last minute, I take pride in my work and I will take the time to finish the project, no matter how long it takes. Sometimes it might be a little detrimental to me. However, I feel that when the person came and gave me the work, that there was a certain expectation and that I should meet that expectation.
So when you say it could be detrimental to you, how did you mean?
I had a couple of instances where this one attorney would come at about 5 o'clock on the last day of the month and drop a whole month of timesheets on my table.
Right.
And I had to get it done before midnight. So I would constantly be doing that at the end of every month. And after a while, you feel like you're being taken advantage of. And I had to make a shift to figure out how can I get this done in a timely manner without having to do everything at the last minute. Because you're jamming to get things done, and I also feel like when you're doing things at the last minute, there could be mistakes made, and I don't like that.
Sure, sure. So how did you overcome this problem then?
Well, I have several... I didn't really overcome the problem because the person concerned was not... not that the person didn't want to help me or didn't like me. I don't think they could help themselves. So I would try to kind of send reminders when I see the person, send emails. Hey, I need you to send your time. And then I also talked to his secretary and said, hey, can you help me as well so that, we can both do it together so it's not just on you or just on me? And I recall her saying, I don't know how to use that program. I go, oh, it's really easy. Let me show you. And I sat with her through a couple of times and she's like, this is really easy. You should not be doing this. I can really do this faster. And I see him because he's always at my desk and I sit across from him. I can bother him as much as you do and get this done. So we got to a certain point, not exactly how I would have liked things to go, but we managed it to the best of our ability.
But it sounds as though the problem was solved if his secretary was going to do the work and enter the time cards.
She was going to enter, that's true, but the problem didn't get solved because he would not give it to her. Whereas when I asked for it, there was a chance that, you know, he would say, I know, I have to give it to you. I promise you I'll do it tomorrow. But I felt more comfortable, and she didn't feel that comfortable going and bothering her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, boss, so to speak.
Right, right. So that's a sort of a problem that wasn't quite solved to how you'd like it to be. Can you give us an example of when there was a different problem that was solved and you were really happy with the resolution?
Well, we had somebody who had to do this spreadsheet, and it used to take her an inordinate amount of time to do this, and the attorneys used to wonder, why does it take her so long? So I decided to get involved and ask her, could you show me what you're doing? And I realized that she really didn't understand how and the best way to use Excel. So therefore, she was taking an inordinate amount of time to do this. So I said to her, you know, there is really a better way to do this, if I may, share my insights with you. And she says to me, oh, you seem to know it really well. Why don't you take over and do it? And I said, I could be your backup person when you're not there, but the job is what you have to do. So let me help you with this. And she learned a lot of stuff. I mean, she didn't learn everything. She only wanted to know, what do I have to learn in order just to do this spreadsheet? Mm-hmm. But I felt that she, you know, would come to me with questions, and I was always there to help her. And she was able to do the task much faster than she did before.
Right.
So, and she was very grateful to me that I had taught her something, mm-hmm. and that she had learned something. So I was happy with that outcome. So I was pretty happy that she had learned something, right, and I was able to help her with it.
Great. The example you told us before about sort of staying late on the last day of the month to get the time cards in, I mean, that's a great example showing your sort of flexibility and, as you say, your work ethic and your determination to make sure the company reaches its goals. But I'm wondering if you could give us an example of when you've had to tell somebody something that they haven't liked, but, you know, perhaps a new policy that's come in or a policy that they didn't agree with. Can you tell us about, you know, that kind of a situation?
Yes. I managed two officers in my last company, C. And one of them was, had employees, because there was nobody to manage them. There was a lot of one person. She was a great worker, but she was kind of, she would bully people. And I had to kind of, I knew we were not going to let her go. So I had to counsel her and kind of practice with her. Here's a situation. Now tell me how you would handle this when you went. Imagine that I was the person you were going to talk to. What would you say to me? And she would say something, and I would say, look, when you talk like that, it almost feels like you're accusing me of not knowing what I'm doing. So here's a different way to do this. Why don't you say it like this and see how the difference is? One sounds accusing, the other sounds as if you're just double-checking.
Okay.
And I managed, it was really empowering because she and I got to be really good, you know, I would say friends, work friends. And I was able to help her, and, you know, she was getting written up for talking down to people, and she improved it. And in her next review, they told her that she had improved immensely in the way she addressed people. That was very empowering.
Yeah, you must be very proud of that.
I am. I am very proud of it. It was almost like a role playing I had to do with her, and sometimes I felt awkward. But I would bring up situations that had happened and say, okay, let's take this situation and see how we can change this to sound better. Because I know you're a really great person and you don't really mean it, but sometimes the way you say things can come off, you know, in a negative and accusing manner.
Right,
and you
right.
really don't want to do that because that's not your intention to begin with.
Sure. Okay. Terrific. Are you working on any area to improve?
I am working. One of my weaknesses, I would say, is I tend to take on a lot of projects. Because of my can-do attitude, people come to me, they know it's going to get done, and say, oh, this person's not really doing a great job, could you take it over and do it? And at first, I used to say, of course, I will do it. But then I realized that the other employee was being done a disservice because he or she didn't know that somebody was unhappy with their work. And pretty soon, if that's going to be the case, someone's going to say, well, she's not really doing her job, let's get rid of her.
Right.
So I learned to delegate or to go back to that person and say, look, management is a little unhappy with the way things are done. How can I help you to learn to do this better? Or can I give you training? How can I help you so you can succeed?
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes. What skills and experiences would, if I was interviewing for a job with you, what skills and experiences do you think would the ideal candidate have?
Okay. So I won't go into that, seeing as we don't have a position that
okay.
we're, but that's a great question. So what other questions do you have?
what questions? Because I was...
No, read out the questions you have, because okay. even if I can't answer them, that's fine. It's just showing that you've, you know, prepared some questions prior to the interview.
Okay, I like to ask what constitutes success in this position or company that I'm going to work at.
Great. Okay.
I'd like to ask about the team I will be working with.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any reservations that you have about the my fit for this position that I can address at this point?
Okay.
And what is the next step in this process?
Some great questions.
Awesome, guys. That was incredible. I must jump in and say, Nina, some of the things you just threw out there are the exact way that we would encourage people to wrap up an interview. You hit on a couple of really key points. In addition to asking some very pertinent questions, which is really critical for any of our listeners out there, always have at least 3 to 5 questions prepared because you never know what questions might get answered during the interview. What I just starred and circled that you did that was perfect, you asked about, were there any reservations you might have about my background that I could address for you? That is one of the strongest ways to end an interview, because what you're doing is, rather than kicking yourself on your way home, you're saying, oh gosh, is there anything you'd like me to address? There might have been a skill that you failed to mention, and then you have a chance to overcome that objection right while you're there. And then you hit the other really important thing, Nina, which was you said, what is the proper protocol for follow-up? And so many people are left hanging in limbo because they don't know if they're the ones who are supposed to follow up, if they're supposed to reach out to the client company. And we see a lot of job seekers actually get blown out of the position altogether because they're too aggressive in their follow-up or not aggressive enough. So I just wanted to jump in and say that was fantastic. I was very blown away by that.
Thank you.
Right, well, terrific.
What were your thoughts on the questions, Pearl, at the end?
I thought they were really fabulous questions.
Thank you.
You know, all of them, and they're so ideal to be using in that situation because it shows you're really interested in the job, you're wanting to know about the team that you're working with, etc. And that's a good, you know, it makes the interviewer feel that you really are interested in the position. Yeah.
Yeah. All in all, I thought it was a really great interview. I mean, I thought that you did a great job, both of you, in asking questions. And it was interesting, Pearl. I liked some of the behavioral questions you asked, because I find that especially in higher level management positions, you're going to be confronted with a lot more of the how do you handle X or Y scenario sort of questions.
Right. Okay.
So how did you feel, Nina? So if this was a real interview, how would you feel afterwards?
I would feel okay, but I think I could have done a little better in some of the questions you asked me. Maybe taken a few minutes to think about it. I don't know if I would have talked about not being able to get the results I wanted with the timesheet entry. I don't know whether that would have made it look like, oh, she couldn't handle it. She couldn't get a good result.
I think that's a very astute observation, and I'd love to get Pearl's 2 cents on this, because what I noticed is you actually, had you reframed your answer to that question, you had the perfect answer. It was in our own, it's so funny how sometimes our negative internal self-talk comes into our dialogue rather than our internal monologue. And so had you approached it and said, gosh, you know, there was this one occasion where we had this attorney, and at the end of every month, he would drop these, you know, bills on my desk and need me to get them done by midnight that night. And I was so grateful because I was able to enroll the secretary who didn't know how to use that time program. Not only did I get trained on that program, but going forward from then on, at the end of every month, it wasn't something I had to be responsible for because she now knew how to complete that. And so I think sometimes we tend to get too much into the details and bogged down about the details that are hurting your story rather than helping your story. Because I think had you framed it that way, as opposed to putting yourself down and saying, oh, I didn't do it as, I didn't solve the problem, I wouldn't have been the wiser. It's like when an actor misses a line or a singer, you know, doesn't play the right tune. If we lay people don't know, we have no idea that you didn't actually solve the problem that you wanted to solve.
Correct.
But that was very astute of you. What did you think about that, Pearl?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jennifer. And because you didn't solve the problem, then that made me as the interviewer think, oh, she's soft. And that's why I asked the follow-up question of when you've had to tell somebody to do something that they haven't necessarily wanted to do. because that was sort of in my mind thinking, right. Oh, is she going to be authoritative enough at work? You know, if she's going to be in a supervisory position. But then you did find in the follow-up questions. So that's the whole thing with the interviewing, is that if I pick up something and I think, oh, maybe she's a little bit weak here, then I'm going to have another follow-up question. And then as long as you overcome whatever that issue was in the follow-up answer, then you're okay.
Yeah, and it's a great example because you never know which type of interview you're going to get. Some people might ask you the initial question and just write you off and say, oh, this isn't the person for us. Right. But what was great that Pearl did is she got really curious and kind of inquisitive. Well, tell me more about that. And it's funny because my interviewing style would have been like, red flag, okay, don't pass, go. But what was fascinating that I want to give you both credit for is I loved the later example. It was about two or three later examples down the road where you talked about the role playing. If you ever find yourself in that scenario again, you could almost sense the pride that you had in that.
Yes.
And by that point, you were very clear and intentional. Here's what happened, and here's the solution. And whenever you're faced with any of those behavioral or challenge situational questions, I found that the most important thing from an interviewing standpoint is to have the impact of the result be what's memorable and not the problem itself. So, for example, I barely even remember what the actual problem itself was, but what I really starred and circled here was that you did role playing, that you taught somebody a new skill they didn't have. And the other thing that I picked up in several situations that you just might want to look into is the training thing. There were three or four examples that you gave, and it all came down to people not being trained in skills. So maybe that's something that you could tie in and say, well, gosh, in a couple of my positions, I've noticed that some of the people who I've inherited when I've come into my role aren't up to date on certain training programs. So something I would love to do at my next position is to make sure to get a sense of everybody's skills right away. And then anybody who does need additional training, offer that to them so that everybody's set up powerfully when I come on board and we don't face this problem again.
Great. Thank you. That sounds good.
Yeah, and certainly when you answer that question about the role play, you really lightened up, you brightened up.
It was a different experience.
Yeah, so it was great. So to have those kinds of, and the whole thing with interviews, especially because they're, you know, behavioral questions are fairly frequent these days, is that you already have those stories that you've rehearsed.
Yes.
And you know them. So whatever the job is looking for, so if you look at the job description, the job is looking for project management skills, flexibility, customer service, training skills, you know, so you can orient staff or whatever, then you've already got old stories about that. So that if I ask you the question, give us an example of how you've managed a project well, then you've got that story. You've got the, you know, the situation and the action and the result. Mm-hmm. That if I ask you a question about, you know, tell me how you've handled sort of a customer service issue with the client, or tell me how you've handled a vendor problem, that you've got all of those stories already, you know, made. You've already thought about them.
Yes.
But the other thing is, and you said yourself, you sort of perhaps answer too quickly sometimes, and I don't know if that's true, but the other thing is that if I ask you a question and you sort of, oh my goodness, what, you know, you take a deep breath, but it's always good for you. You can always say, oh, let me think of a good example for you. So you're sort of giving yourself an extra, you know, few seconds while you're sort of, and it's okay to sort of stop and say, I'm trying to think of a really good example for you. Just give me a minute, please. And then you can sort of take the 20 or 30 seconds you need to think of a good example.
That's a great point. And then it comes across less canned too, because I get people who ask me, can I bring notes into an interview, or should I use notes on a phone screen even? And people think, oh, nobody's going to be able to tell I'm reading notes or reading off my resume, but you can energetically feel the difference when somebody's making eye contact with you versus trying to rehearse or say something. And what Pearl just said was perfect, because you allow that breath, you say, gosh, that's a really great question. Let me think of an example. And then by the time you go back and you reconnect and make eye contact with that person, there's a lot more of that rapport there. It comes across a lot more authentic, as opposed to, I've seen it happen oftentimes, where some of my clients will want to hire the most polished person, and it's rarely the most polished, eloquent person who actually is the best one for the job, but they will razzle-dazzle you every time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's okay to be authentic is the point of that in an interview when we get stuck. There was something else I noticed. One of the first things I think we were talking about was a situation where you said there was a difficult attorneys and there was a lot of turnover and there was a secretary. It's just something that kind of took me out of the conversation. You kept switching between them versus her in the scenario. So in some situations you would say, oh, I was dealing with the secretaries and them and they, and then in other situations you would say, and she and her. And so when you're working on that, just so it doesn't take the person out of the experience, there was one individual person who we were dealing with who had an extremely demanding attorney. In that particular situation, she wasn't sure if she could stay on the firm because she didn't think she was up for the task. After doing about 2 to 3 weeks of coaching and development with her and helping her realize her self-worth, she actually not only became one of our best secretaries, but one wound up getting along fabulously with the attorney.
Okay.
That way it's that just more clear as opposed to going back and forth between them versus her.
Right. I have a question for you, Jennifer. That first question, tell me a little bit about yourself. What kind of detail do you expect somebody to go into?
Great question. So what was interesting in Nina's case is Nina started off about Sri Lanka and liking to travel, etc. And it was funny because it was almost like a deflated balloon. You first started talking about Sri Lanka and about travel, and then it's like, and then I went into legal. And it's just like, it was like, and then I went into something that I wasn't as passionate about. So what I always tell people is you want to focus you're telling me about yourself in a couple of different ways. One, you want to do something called proactive versus reactive interviewing. And what that means is you want to look at your resume and anticipate the reasons why they wouldn't hire you. So the next immediate question that Pearl asked you after tell me about yourself was, walk me through your resume. Whenever you get to that point, it's just kind of cliche, and then the person's in there will tell me why you left here. It's a lot more empowering when you, as the interviewee, look at your resume and you go, gosh, I would be concerned about my background because maybe A, I'm not working, B, I went to a firm and came back, see, I was at my most recent firm for less than 2 years. So if I were in Nina's position and somebody said, tell me about yourself, I would not bring up anything personal unless there was an indicator in that person's office. I would look around. If you're sitting with somebody in their office, you notice a picture of Sri Lanka, or you notice that they have travel-related photos, absolutely tie that in. Or in some people's cases, you might see a favorite sports team. It's okay to use that as an icebreaker. But unless you're directly asked the question of, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do in your spare time, it's not going to help forward making your case for why they should want to hire you. Okay. So what Nina could do is say, well, gosh, I've been in the United States for over 20 years now working in law firms. I'm very grateful I got into this. It really allows me to utilize my organizational abilities, my financial and budgeting skills, and kind of bring it all together. In fact, when I first landed out here, I was with this phenomenal firm that I was at for many years. And probably one of my bigger regrets is I decided I wanted something new and different. And so I tried out a different area of law with a new firm and immediately regretted it. So when my firm offered me the opportunity to come back, I came back and was delighted to be back there and would have stayed there till I retired had the company not closed their doors. After that, this was something else interesting you said. You said you had to take a job. Watch out for words like had, hard, try, etc.
Okay.
Because those are automatically disempowering words. So instead of saying, I had to take a job, I would say, gosh, you know, I was so lucky. That was still when the economy was a little bit slow and there weren't many positions at my level. And I was offered an amazing office administrator job practically within 2 miles of my house. I could almost walk there. And so I decided to give it a try. They were going through a lot of changes in that role. And eventually they went through a merger and they brought on their own person. But it was a good learning experience because I was overseeing 2 offices, which I hadn't done before. And now I'm looking forward to applying those skills wherever I go next.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I should not have said that.
Here's the thing, though. Don't shit on yourself either. As a human beings, it's all our negative internal self-talk turns into our dialogue externally. And the minute we say, I should, I shouldn't, it's hard, etc., there is no should. This is what I always tell people. It's like ice cream. Right now, you are delicious vanilla ice cream, and everybody loves ice cream on a hot summer day. All we're doing is adding vanilla and sprinkles and a little bit of whipped cream and a cherry on top. That's these little tips. So there is never a should. There's just, hey, I could make this even more tasty and flavorful by doing this. Because you don't want to put yourself down or disempower yourself negatively, internally or externally.
All right.
Just to play with it. Just to have a little more fun.
Okay.
Pearl, did you have any thoughts on...
No, I think you were relaxed, which was great. I think if you just prepare a little bit more and you, as Jennifer was saying, in terms of especially your opening statement, try and make it a stronger opening statement. I love Jennifer's suggestions of sort of heading things off at the pass, because in your opening statement, if you've already told them why you've only been at the company a short time or whatever concerns I might have, you know, as an interviewer, I go through and I highlight everything, and I'm going to ask this question, that question. But if you've already answered all those questions, like in fact you had, I had questions like, why were you in your job such a short time, and why did you leave your last position? But you'd already answered them. But right. You know, subsequently, as you walk through your resume, but you could have already answered them in that opening statement.
Okay. So, yeah. And what was interesting too, there were a couple of things that I noticed in fluctuation in your tone of voice. That's really interesting. That it's only when you're in a position like any of us are, where you interview a lot of people, you notice that certain things are going to capture your attention, and certain things are going to kind of have you drift off a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when you started in your tell me or your walk me through your resume, what was interesting is, you had the same tone and there wasn't much variation. And so I see people make this mistake sometimes when we're talking about strengths and weaknesses, or we're talking about walk me through your resume. The conversation goes, well, first I started here, and then I went there, and then I went here. And the tone is the same, versus there were moments where, like I said, when you mentioned the travel thing, it's funny, actually, and I was going to mention this, when you get passionate, your head would nod up and down. And it wasn't a bad thing, necessarily. You might want to watch it, that if you're really passionate, you might be nodding your head a lot in an interview. But there's a completely, I'm sure when you go back and listen to this show, you'll notice that there was a completely different tone in your voice at certain parts. So you might want to break it apart by fluctuating your voice and your tone and punctuating certain points. So for example, one of the other examples that I noticed it in, when Pearl asked you, tell me a little bit about your strengths, that was another interesting one where you did what a lot of people do. Again, not good or bad, but it was interesting. What you did is you started listing off what a lot of people do. I'm hardworking, I'm detailed, I'm loyal. And so people will often give this laundry list and go, da, 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 but they don't pause for impact. And they don't give examples. So in the beginning, I think you listed off a couple of things without giving specific results. There was one point where you were talking, I think, about being hardworking or something of that nature, and I was just salivating, waiting for this amazing point that you were going to make about a piece of evidence or an example, and it didn't show up. And so for me, I find it to be helpful when you're in an interview, write down your top five traits, the things that have you just shine, aside from the challenges that we already talked about with Pearl. Okay. But maybe it's the fact that you're loyal. Maybe it's the fact that you're a team player. Maybe it's that you're good at dealing with really demanding personalities. And then next to each one of those, come up with an example or piece of evidence, because that then becomes your entire interview. They could say, Nina, why should we hire you? Nina, give me an example of a strength. Nina, tell me about an achievement. And the minute you have those five things written down plus an example, you don't have to rattle them all off one by one right after one another, but it is very impactful if you say, well, gosh, one reason you might want to hire me is da 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 da, and here's what I did. Actually, let me give you an example. There was the time where I stayed and worked straight through the weekend to achieve da 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 da. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because yes. I think you did a great job, and I was just almost, you were on the cusp, because people will speak in vague terms about an example, and they'll go so far as to say, oh yeah, and I'm the sort of person who will handle X, Y, and Z, rather than giving a specific, unique example to them. Especially in the legal industry, the analogy I use, it's like you're an attorney making a case for trial, except instead of making a case for why the client should prevail, you're actually making a case by providing evidence of why they should hire you instead of the next guy or gal. And the only way to make that case is to provide the best evidence.
Okay.
Just a hypothetical fun
All
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Pearl, did you have any other thoughts? I was trying to go through my notes here and see if there was anything else aside from the things that we've already covered.
No, I don't think so. I liked your example when you talked about management style, because really all managers should be eclectic. And so I thought it was good that you're giving examples of, you know, how you will hold somebody's hand sometimes,
yes,
and then other times you'll, you know, just let them go off and do their own thing. So that was good.
Yeah, and what was really interesting, because I know that Nina and I had spoken about this before the show, is that Nina mentioned she didn't want to come across as bragging. And I think what was great is that it did, the examples that you did give, where mm-hmm. you were proud, and maybe that's why you rambled a little bit, is that you didn't come across as, boasting about yourself. You came across as just very grounded and very, very like, hey, sincere, this is how I was able to help this person. And I think practicing Toastmasters is great, and just working on your own confidence and getting comfortable with talking about yourself without it being boasting. In fact, one last little thing I'll tell you, sometimes for people who are afraid to come across as a braggart or that they're boasting and it's not their personality style, which knowing Nina, I can say that's true for Nina, you might want to bring that up in your tell me about yourself statement, because that way it's not the elephant in the room. So if somebody says, Nina, tell me about yourself, you could say, oh, this always makes me laugh. I'm used to being on the other side of the desk, and one thing that's never been comfortable for me is culturally I was brought up not to brag about myself or speak about myself. So it's about me getting comfortable on this side of the desk and being able to share where I've contributed to people.
All right.
And then it gets the elephant out of the room, because sometimes we just get so inside of our heads of, do I come across like I'm bragging? Am I saying the right thing? And when you actually speak what's out there and you just say it and call it what it is, it makes everything else disappear. And then it just becomes a lot more easy and effortless and natural during the interview.
Okay. So may I ask a question,
please? Of course.
Please? So when you asked me about walk me through your resume, are you looking for me to talk about what's on my resume or to expand, because everything on my resume, it would be, I don't think it would be a good idea, right, to talk about I did this, I did this, I did that. Wouldn't it be more about, would you say it's more about talking about myself and what I can accomplish?
I think it's giving a quick history. So even though I can see the history, you know, on paper, then it's just giving me a quick history of what you've done. And, you know, why, you know, as we've said, sort of why you've left organizations, because here you sort of came back to the organization.
Yes.
And then you know, you left after a short time. So you're sort of heading those things off at the pass. But you can also be saying things like you're very proud of one of the things you did at this organization.
Okay.
You know, and so you can actually be using those sort of strength stories during that time, too.
Yeah, so rather, I think to Pearl's point, rather than waiting for them to ask the next typical follow-up question, which is, what are your strengths? Tell me about an achievement. You could even pull little snippets, not necessarily the mundane reading off of your resume, here I budgeted, here I facilitated, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you could say something like, well, gosh, what I took away from this job was X, Y, and Z, and probably my most proud moment from that job was da, 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 da. Especially, there's two different questions. If somebody says, walk me through your resume, then yes, that is an invitation and an opening to actually share more than you just might share if somebody said, why did you leave that job? Those are two very different but subtly different questions. Because if somebody says to you, Nina, why did you leave XYZ job? In that scenario, you just want to keep it good, bad, good. Start with why you originally accepted the job, lightly touch on what was missing, and follow up with a positive. But when it's walk me through your resume, as Pearl said, you have opportunity there to expound upon things a little bit further.
Okay.
Were there any other questions or things that would help you, Nina?
Is it okay that I write down questions that I want to ask the person interviewing? Or do you think it's better that I remember them and ask them?
Well, I think it's okay to write them down.
The only time I've seen it hurt somebody's ability in an interview is sometimes people are so in their heads that they're not present with the interviewer. So if, say, during the course of a 20, 30, 45-minute interview, you say, oh, would you mind if I wrote something down? That's a great point you just raised. And then you can jot a note and bring it up down the road.
Okay.
You just don't want to be writing. I've also seen people who are writing the entire duration of the interview, and then they're not creating that rapport and connecting with
Correct.
The person.
Yes.
So I think in moderation, it's fine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Any other questions or thoughts, Nina, before we wrap up?
No, I don't. I think this has been really helpful because sometimes while I was talking, I was telling myself, why did you say that? You would never have said that before. Why are you saying that? But in retrospect, it's good to get this feedback, because now you know little bells go on. Uh-oh, don't say that. This is what you could say, and really think about it before you go for the interview, because that would really help you to say, okay, even though you don't write it down in your thoughts, you know, this is how I should say, and these are the things that I could talk about to make myself look good. Because I think we all find it a little daunting at times to talk about ourselves.
Yes.
and go, how far have I gone in bragging about myself?
Yeah, and just keep, because there's that fine line between confidence and conceit. You see the people who come in all the time and they just go in there guns blazing, bragging about themselves, right. And that doesn't work. But then often I find the diamonds in the rough in my industry where I have to pull it out, even somebody like you, Nina, where people are amazing shining diamonds, but you have to kind of get people to polish themselves in the sense of believing in themselves and not being afraid to share some of their wonderful achievements. I think it's important also, before you go into any interview, set an intention of how you want the other person to be left and what you want to create. So anytime before I do a podcast, a television appearance, or a speaking engagement, I set an intention. What do I want the listeners to be left with? What do I want to create energetically between us in the room? And so the same is true before an interview. You could go, wow, I want this interview to be easy and effortless and connected and fun, and I want to come across as my authentic self. And so if you set that intention, just mentally write it down to yourself, whatever you need to do, then when you go in, you're kind of holding that space as opposed to just going in a reactive space.
Okay, great. Thank you for your advice. It's really been great.
Well, good luck on your job hunt.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the feedback. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been wonderful having you both on the show. And next thank you, Nina. And do tune in next week. I have a childhood friend of mine who I recently reconnected with, and she has a wonderful story. She's a trained physical therapist and wanted to spend more time with her three children at home and needed something that she could do part-time while she does her physical therapy part-time, and is going to be telling us about how she's actually already putting money away for her children's education with her new part-time job. So tune in every Monday at 4. You can also find us on iTunes and download us on Get Yourself the Job on iTunes for free and listen at your leisure. And thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job. We look forward to having you join us next week, and stay cool out there, Los Angeles.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.